Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Are you talking to yourself or is this from some
Godfather.
Movie I've never seen? Oh, okay. Sorry.
Have you seen The Godfather, yeah, I hope?
Once or twice.
It's Mike Shope.
I did not see it until my 30s, but then I became obsessed with it.
And the Bulldog.
I've never been obsessed with it, so I don't know it well enough to have picked up on that.
I did not care for The Godfather.
What?
Did not care for The Godfather.
I don't think it's a movie where you're just like, oh, it's good. Godfather, yeah, I saw that. It was good. It was good. The Godfather, I saw that. I liked it. Like that's just sort of, you didn't really see it.
I'm not in the way of it being an all-time great. I never got obsessed with it.
Explain yourself. What didn't you like about it?
It insists upon itself.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
It's not personal. It's strictly business.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Yet another thing to pack into your weekend plans. The Godfather, the trilogy, in fact. Why not all three? Bang those out in about 7 hours, maybe eight.
No,
I don't feel like you're gonna.
I'm not.
Partake.
No, I'm not.
It's too nice out.
Not gonna.
I just went outside.
Oh,
it's beautiful.
Nice,
out.
It's nice out now.
It's not
sure,
movie
yeah.
weather.
Yeah.
It's spring.
Yeah.
It's in the 50s. The sun is out. You don't want to be
no.
under a blanket.
No, right.
Cooped up. We're gonna say fireplace.
Right.
Ask me again tomorrow, because tomorrow, like, the high is 45, and I'll be out at Canisius La Crosse.
Good for you.
Oh, great. I forgot to wear two hats to stay warm. I forgot I needed a second hat to be able to not freeze out here, like last week.
Hats.
At least two hats. Two of everything. You know, I know you know this answer, because I just blurted it out here in the studio, the Duntire studio. What did we not do this week? Reverse AFC power rankings. The draft is next week, and undoubtedly that will change things. That will change opinions.
Surely.
And mix things up. But
yes.
Probably we should do at least one pre-draft reverse AFC power rankings. Maybe if we do this, if you're up for it, both of you, a little bit of a spotlight on the wide receiver position. Who was the competition? Do they need one of these giant names? Jeremy stuck to this board that he brought in, and the stickers and the stuff on the floor and everything. Do any of these teams, would these players appeal to these teams? Let's find out. Reverse AFC power rankings on a Friday special edition powered by Empire Electric, your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit empireelectricians.com. How lucky we all are to be together on a Friday for this.
Wow. And all of you out there in Radio Land.
That's what I meant.
It's a huge day. It's a huge day.
Yeah.
What an opportunity this is to tap in.
At prime time, too. You know, for us.
Sort of. You're missing the news, but.
Right.
Come on. Okay. 16. You're missing the news, but come on. It'll be on in an hour again. The same news.
Right.
You can wait.
Just open up your phone.
16.
Can't find entertainment like this anywhere else.
Denver Broncos. Yes, they were 16 last week.
Did you see the body language over here?
Fist pump gesture.
Like you just made a birdie putt. Like you, wow.
Here, I do not like the Denver Broncos. Here is what I'm sort of hoping for and predicting. Bo Nix at 12. Good luck to you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how you sell it to fans right there. Bo Nix, 12. There you go.
Did you hear Sean Payton yesterday talking about how he spent 2 hours on analytics, so he's up to speed? What is that meeting like? I mean, is he watching The Godfather on his phone while the people are talking? Denver does not have a second-round pick. So if they want Bo Nix, they better get him at 12, unless they start pulling off trade-down moves, which is not exactly Payton's MO over the years, or I don't know about if it's Denver's.
I would love it if they did that. I need to catch up. I mean, I'm following Benjamin Albright. He's like the Broncos guy. He also breaks a lot of news around the league too. But I don't know if there's smoke there from him that they're on that. I feel like if they were, he'd be, well, he doesn't have to know, but if it's known, like, he'd know. And mostly, like, consistently, what I've seen from him is, like, Penix and Nix are, you know, not first-round guys. But I feel like that has started to change over the course of the last few weeks. So maybe. I hope they do that.
What I hear is, I mean, Nix, who played 6 years of college football, maybe, like, he dumps the ball off all the time. He's throwing screen passes.
Yeah, that Oregon offense is just a gadgety mess.
Well, that I wouldn't maybe put it one way. To me, like, I think that they're sort of like a style fit with Peyton and Nix. And I've heard other people say that too. It's not an original take, but I don't know. I'm not excited for Denver. If they don't draft him at 12,
yep,
without moving around in the draft here pretty aggressively, Jarrett Stidham, then that's what they're going to do. And Cortland Sutton, who wants out, and who are the running backs, and who's anybody suddenly on that offense, or not that suddenly.
Them not having a second really is impactful there, because they can't wait for one of those guys to pick them on Friday. That's a good one.
Denver.
Yeah, they warrant being 16th, sure.
Maybe the worst loss of the last 5 Bills years is that Denver game. Oof. Although,
Urban Meyer still happened.
I know. Ken Dorsey would still be here if the Bills had not lost to Denver. Or I think he would have lasted the season. Maybe not the offseason.
Right, yeah.
15. I'm exhausted after that. I'm exhausted.
I mean, you were ready to go on Denver. No wonder you got up and got the sheets to do reverse AFC power rankings. I'll say Raiders at 15.
Not too different.
I like them here. Although there's a lot of smoke that they might trade up for Jaden Daniels. I know Chris Trapasso talked about it today too, of like Adam Schefter saying there's a team out there that, you know, their coach worked with Daniels. Antonio Pierce, Arizona State, when Daniels was there for I think 3 years. So
Seattle has that too, or no? Who's Seattle? Oh, Penix. Seattle.
Yes.
Their new guy was at Washington. Okay, sorry. Okay. Yeah. Okay, I'd love it. I'd love a Raiders trade for Daniels. That'd be really fun.
Their new head coach, the former Baltimore DC, was in Washington with Penix, was only there for 2 years.
The coordinator.
Oh, the coordinator. Thank you.
Somebody in their offense was with Washington.
That adds up. Okay, good.
Washington Huskies.
Right. I've decided that I really like Michael Penix Jr.
Okay.
So I don't know where.
I mean, that's brave. That's brave.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm rooting for him. I'm not ready to tell you like he's going to be great. I'm not getting up on a box to make a speech here. But
he's old, multiple injuries, but he puts the ball on the spot.
Right.
Daniel Jeremiah made the Seattle Penix connection. I want to make sure I announce that because I just mentioned it. I just think of that? No, I heard Daniel Jeremiah say it. That maybe the Seahawks are a team. That, okay, so who are these teams like Denver and the Raiders going to worry about? I've made that point. If they wait until round 2, who's in their way for those two guys? Because most people don't see them as first-round prospects. The Seahawks could be an answer to that question. So Raiders at 15, 14.
I'll say the Patriots.
Yeah, fine. Don't overthink it. It's just back and forth. You have this every year. Not always to the same extent, but Daniels, the agent's upset that Washington had other quarterbacks in with him for interviews and such. I don't know. If that's meaningful, then Drake May. The odds did move toward Drake May. But then you have people pointing out that Will Levis was the decided favorite to be the number 2 overall pick last year with less than a week to go, and he didn't even get drafted the whole night.
Right. Is Washington, I mean, maybe we'll find out really what has happened there. But if they have, to the point of this mass quarterback top golf outing, which they had this week,
baby.
If prior to that, Daniels was like, the scouts are zeroing in, but they really like how he distributes the ball. Everyone's in agreement. We really like this guy. They schedule this gathering, and how Daniels behaves at that changes their mind. Like, he's standoffish. Like, there's been a lot of Twitter opinion about what exactly Washington was up to. Like, just sort of you know, Lord of the Flies. Get everyone together and let's see how they interact and who is the alpha, who fades in the background or whatever. Like, I don't know. What a horrible idea. Right? But, like, is that what they're doing? Like, did they change their minds, maybe?
I've told you for years, I think the interview part of draft scouting is a net negative. Because it just reinforces your biases. Imagine making a decision based on that.
Right.
Watch the tape. How productive was he? He won the Heisman Trophy.
Right.
But maybe he's not that cool.
Right.
I mean,
well,
bad teams stay bad.
If he's going to be rattled by walking in here and seeing J.J. McCarthy and Drake May and whoever was Rattler, the other guy, because I'm assuming Caleb Williams wasn't
Penix is there.
Penix, okay. So whatever, there's a group of the
Williams guys. Wouldn't have been there.
And he walks in like, he's shook by that. Like, oh, well, how's he going to react when T.J. Watt is breathing down his neck? Is that Washington? Is that what they're doing?
I can hear that scouting meeting now in my mind.
That is amazing.
Williams would not have been there, right?
No, I can't imagine that he was invited or that McCarthy, he would have gone.
Daniels, yeah. May, and Penix.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
13. Titans.
Yeah, Tennessee still.
12.
Jets.
Exactly like last week so far. Great idea.
Oh, really?
Oh. Great idea. 11. Chargers. I gotta go back to them. The one thing I like, they've just hired a rock star coach, but and they've got Herbert, so they're like the two most important things, arguably, certainly quarterback. They're kind of blank slate after that. So they easily should make the trade if Minnesota offers. Minnesota might think they can get higher. I don't know, but if that's my team, I'm at 5, somebody offers 11 and 23, I can't wait to say yes. What an opportunity, what a steal that would be. Two firsts, probably about around the same quality as one. Mm-hmm. Free player. Free starter.
All right, I'm good with the Chargers there.
10.
If that wasn't said. Let's see. Who's left?
I'll say Pittsburgh. Miami and Cleveland have also been talked about in this range.
I like Pittsburgh here. Brian Thomas Jr.'s name has been thrown out a ton to them at 20.
Good.
I know Peter Schrager mocked him there, too. And they don't take wide receivers in the first round, though. That would feel very weird, but also would kind of – I would take Pittsburgh more seriously, I think, if they did that.
I've been inclined to want to push them up because
as in why? Worse?
Because no, I guess down. Oh, sorry. Closer – a lower number. I have no idea what we're doing. How many years have we been doing this? Anyway, playoff team. I think the quarterback situation will be better even. Not great, but better. I don't have to be right about that. It could be a mess.
Could be a mess.
Wilson is a freaky weirdo, and he's supposed to be in tandem with Justin Fields, who's like fighting for his life, basically. Like, I don't know. That could just turn into really ugly, really fast. So, fine. Pittsburgh.
9. Browns?
Sure, Browns. Congratulations on your new helmet.
That's all we got. Yeah.
What? I mean...
I second that.
What? I mean, I know we get lost in the weeds big time on uniform stuff in here about our teams, but like, I don't know. It looks fine.
What's different?
White face mask.
Oh, I never even noticed the color of the face masks.
I don't.
The Bills did something, and everybody went, "Oh wow!" And I'm like, "What are you talking about with the face mask recently?" Right?
Yeah. From gray to white. Yep.
I had no idea. Didn't even know. How about that?
See, when they did that, I think I like the way the white looks, and I like the way this Browns thing looks, but. Good Lord.
Did they release a video about it,
too? Yeah, this is where social media is not your friend. Like, I get why teams use it the way they do, and I get for the fans of their team, maybe they were all fawning over it the way we'd be fawning over Josh's red helmet when he's at a practice in August.
Wow.
Or whatever the hell's going on, right?
Ooh.
Like, oh, look at that! Oh, he's got a visor! Ah, right?
But the thing, we're crazy people. We need somebody sensible in the room.
But the video, I'm sitting here in Buffalo, New York, going like, it's a Browns helmet. It's the same... damn helmet you've been wearing for 120 years.
Now, I know it's AFC, but Detroit, that's something.
That's
awesome.
Yeah, the dark with that blue. Yeah.
Did the Browns ever think about putting those fancy helmets on different players? Did they ever think about that? Have they ever thought about doing that?
Yeah.
8.
Jacksonville.
Fine. 7. Miami.
Miami.
Fine. I was a little soft on Miami this week. 6.
Indy. How is it?
We haven't talked wide receivers like I said we would.
I know. Well, we got the rest of the show.
Indianapolis. There's another team I think you should hope takes Brian Thomas. So you are saved from him.
Okay.
5. Bills.
Sure.
4.
Who's catching the ball on this team?
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
The disrespect to Mac Hollins.
They don't. I know. They don't have anybody near as good as Michael Pittman right now. I'm not Kincaid. You want to make? You know what? I would. I don't know if it's going to be today, but I've heard so much good conversation about him and like just what to expect. You know, in my fantasy stuff, like what is Kincaid? He's the number one pass catching option on the Bills right now by a lot. But so what? What is that?
Right.
He better get in the end zone, or else we'll just rue this pick forever. If he doesn't score touchdowns as a tight end, they have a tight end. He's a very interesting player to debate. 4. Cincinnati. I want to be different here, but I can't move anybody else above Cincinnati.
I want to go Baltimore here. I don't like Derrick Henry being the big move of the offseason. I do not like that at all.
I like Baltimore more than Cincinnati. I was going to say Houston.
Well, the rule is you have to decide between Baltimore and Cincinnati because you came in third.
This might be the tiebreaker. Houston is also going to be releasing new uniforms soon with like a totally alternate
helmet. I saw
helmet,
a helmet.
Which, not great.
Pass.
It's bad.
Not a big fan. All right. What are my choices again?
Bengals or Ravens?
I'll go Bengals.
3.
Houston. See, I'm working over here. I'm having a little sneaky Joe style.
Okay. You know, my Ravens, I'll take the opportunity. I'll walk through the door. 2. Baltimore.
I was going to say Kansas City.
You can.
No, not really. I really wasn't going to do
1. That. Kansas City. Who are their receivers? People are not asking that question. They should be. Where is the level of where is the scrutiny about the Chiefs passing game? Aren't we going to actually talk about what matters here? Reverse AFC Power Rankings brought to you by, powered even by Empire Electric, your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit empireelectricians.com. Where did we get it wrong? And the Sabres needing a head coach, plus the NFL draft. Who's your guy? You get the weekend to think about it, but if you don't need it, let us know. 803-0550, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
I think there's a very good chance they could go 2 scoops, and I think it would make a lot of sense. When you look at the construct of this draft, it's extremely deep in the first 2 days at wide receiver. You got the top-tier guys. We know about them. It gets a little stronger there in the back end of 1. But then in the second round, you've got guys like Ricky Pearsall. You've got Ladd McConkey, Xavier Leggett. I mean, you have a lot of guys who could come in and become good wide receivers. So while you may not be able to find 1 number 1 right away, you might be able to find 2 number 2s that could really come in and make an impact as rookie wide receivers.
Well, why not? Lance Zierlein, how good of an idea is that? Well, how realistic is it? Also,
I think it's because I liked this idea a lot when we thought they were going to get a 3rd round pick. As compensation for Edmonds leaving to Chicago as a free agent last offseason. No 3rd round pick means to take 2, like he's saying there, your first 2 picks are receivers. And I don't know. I don't know that I can get behind that. Like, I like the idea of them coming out of this draft with a couple of options, depending on, you know, what they do. I mean, if they traded for a veteran, that would change. If they drafted one of the big 3, I think that would change for me. But you're drafting another one on Friday after you pick one Thursday, I don't think is realistic because they don't have that third round pick.
I don't think it's realistic either, or it's – that's not the word I want. I don't think it's going to happen. I feel like other reasons also get me there. Sean McDermott is going to draft two wide receivers. It's funny, Jeremy yesterday was talking about Brandon Bean's conference on our Facebook live show. He's like, does anybody believe him? And that's kind of what I thought when I heard McDermott talk about, I came up through Andy Reid, throw to win. Like, what? You really try to push that on us, really? Can't it be good enough to have had the success he's had and just sort of own how he's done it instead of just like, oh, I'm throw to win, baby. Really? Just pass. You and I have gone back and forth on this already.
But they have been a throw-to-win team up until the last six or seven games of last year, right?
Not because of him.
Well, okay, but they did it. I mean, he's in charge.
He's in charge, and he was in charge late last season when they didn't. And who has ever thought of him this way? I just don't attribute that to him. Allen is great, so sure. Daboll was a big part of that, I think. So I just would not attribute that to McDermott, and likewise, I don't think he's going to draft two wide receivers to start the draft.
I agree with that. I just have a very hard time not giving the head coach credit for how the team chooses to play.
Did I not give him credit?
I think.
I don't think he is.
You're saying they did it in spite of him, and I don't.
I don't think he's Don Coryell. I don't think he should ever talk to people like he wants them to think he is. Compromise. I don't know.
All right.
Sure. I've given him lots of credit for that, but I don't think he's the author of it. Basically, what he said by that quote isn't necessarily that he's the author. He's saying, I'm on board.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something quite different, and that might be fine. But
that's all I really need him to be.
That's all I really need him to be, too. Last season changed things, and they went the other direction, and we argued about this yesterday. I don't think that's turning right back around. And with that, I think one is the best I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. In terms of wide receivers by the end of Friday. But that's unusual for that not to be the case. It's unusual for any team to go, you know, what did he call it? Two scoops.
I think
by the way, that's Raisin Bran. That's a Raisin Bran reference. I'm not sure you would know that because you're so anti-Raisin Bran.
I might be able to sing you the jingle if I really wanted to dig in and try.
The Raisin Bran jingle? I don't know it.
Yeah, I don't know it.
I don't know it.
I was hoping you would talk long enough for it to pop into my head, but I really
there probably is one.
There definitely is.
There definitely is.
Somebody's going to send it to me, and I'm going to be mad that I couldn't get there. I think the Bills this year. This is a national guy talking about them. He might not even at the moment realize they don't have a third round pick when he's talking there. So. I think if a team ever has been in a position to warrant drafting two receivers over the first 2 days of the draft, it's the Bills of this year. But they don't have the stuff to do it. Not having that extra pick on Friday really hurts it to me.
They do need other things. It's not 3 years ago where we talked about, oh, what do you buy this team that has everything?
right.
Like, they do need other help. So I just would rule that out. But who knows? Also, I don't know, I sort of tapped at this earlier. Back to Jeremy, right? Like, just pick whoever pick one of them at 28.
Mm-hmm.
Worst case scenario for him, just pick one. You're going to do a lot with this guy, but you don't want to sort of limit him or expectations or anything of the sort right from this draft by drafting someone else who probably is comparable to him. I mean, I'm staring at this big board, strategically placed right in front of me here as we sit, but like A.D. Mitchell and Roman Wilson in the fourth round, or Javon Baker, one of these guys that makes it to Saturday, you want to, you don't have the goods to do that on Friday. You go to Saturday, and that's your haul. It's Mitchell and Baker, whatever. The talk will be about how they compare with each other, you know, and that'll just
and if the later guy is outplaying the other guy early in camp, it'll be a story. And
two rookies to need to be productive this year. It's not exactly why you don't do it, But it's not ideal for the number one guy. It's not ideal for the whole, for the overall to have that.
Yeah. It is. If anyone out there is, I'm thinking of, well, when, you know, I'm sitting here off the top of my head, I'm not looking at a list of Bills drafts. But the Davis draft was Hodgins too, but that was what, a fourth and a sixth
or seven.
So it's different. Like they're pretty much equals walking in the door. Like one of them isn't like way outranking the other one. So there's a year where they did, you know, two scoops. I mean, it was little scoops later on Saturday afternoon, instead of earlier in the draft, but they did take
is that 19 or 20. 20, right?
Yeah.
Davis played four years
and he's gone. Yeah.
Okay. Davis was pick 128. Hodgins was... Dane Jackson was the seventh round. Hodgins was pick 207. Yep, round six. Quez Watkins right in there, round six. You're a big Quez Watkins guy, I believe.
I like the opportunity to say Quez.
Yeah, Quez Watkins.
It's a fun name.
You know, I have told you this. I came into work today with a notebook that I found last night picking up in my house, and it happened to have, like, show notes. I mean, I would have had a computer in 2004, but I was using this notebook to keep track of our shows and watch during Bills games, make notes during Bills games. The first page would be from when we were in Houston.
All right.
Dan Pastorini, 425. Dan Pastorini is marked down here. Leroy Glover was scheduled to be on that show, among others. Jamal Lewis. I don't think we ever got Jamal Lewis, though.
I don't remember sitting with Jamal Lewis.
So then, you know, on it goes.
You got bounced. Stupid Petrix took too much time that day. So
that's right.
Jamal Lewis.
The poker game we played with Phil Gordon.
And Kenny Mayne.
And so Paul. We bumped. And Paul.
Yes. Zach is in there like trying to process this. Yes. We played poker on the air with Phil Gordon, Kenny Mayne, and Paul Hamilton.
I'm just wondering how that went. Like you throw Paul in there. He's a firework sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what happened. That's right.
Yeah, Paul went with us to that Super Bowl. That happened.
Yes. but then I'm getting like it's a great season to have a sort of notes on 04. Like that's the season that ends with the Pittsburgh loss. But, you know, Ross Tucker is on that team. We've talked to him about that year a lot. The big run the Bills made late in the season. I'm most taken by my notes on a New England game from that year. They played a Sunday night game in New England. This is back when ESPN would have had Sunday Night Football. It was not Al Michaels and John Madden. That was like maybe even the next year. But 07, when the Bills hosted New England, that game was flexed to Sunday night. That's NBC. So this is just before that. Not that matters.
Is this? I have one recollection that I'm not really sure is even accurate. But did Troy Brown maybe play defensive back against the Bills in this game?
I think this is that game.
And maybe intercept Bledsoe? No,
he didn't. Yep, I got it right here.
Okay, wow.
Troy Brown, INT, behind Moulds.
Oh, my God.
I got it right here.
Bledsoe's number one receiver while he was the New England quarterback, playing DB against the Bills, and he... Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What a drought moment that is.
So, I wrote in all caps early on in this game, Bills seem ready. They lost 29-6. But I wrote
their quarterback threw an interception
to a wide receiver.
His former wide receiver turned DB.
The Bills had 4th and 5 at the New England 35 and punted. That wouldn't fly anymore.
4th and 5 at the 35. How badly were they losing at the time?
0-0.
Oh, wow.
This is right at the beginning.
Okay.
Like they got the ball.
Yeah.
And they got to the New England 35. And on 4th and 5, they didn't even kick a field goal from the 35-yard line. They punted, according to my notes.
Is Mike Hollis their kicker?
0-4?
Yeah. He's 0-2
no.
With Minnesota. He kicked that one
Lindell?
On the crossbar. So, yeah, it's not him.
I don't know. Maybe Lindell by then? He was on the team a long time.
Yeah.
So, halftime, it's 20-0. I guess they were ready. I don't know if they were ready. I might have been wrong about that. But don't belong on the same field again. Patriots make mistakes, but so what? A Rodney Harrison dropped pick, maybe? He would have been on that team. Missed bomb. Brady tripped on one play. Nothing hurts them. All kinds of... I just love this. Like, I probably haven't looked at this since I filled it in, you know, 2005 or whatever.
It's fun to find stuff like that.
Joe Montana.
This is reminding
me,
you're mentioning Houston and that Super Bowl. I think the notebook that I found at the cottage after we left there in the summer of 19 and never went back. Mm-hmm. And it got sold while we couldn't even cross the border. But eventually, we still had neighbors there. I went and spent a weekend in the neighbor's house a couple of autumns ago, and the house is just sitting there. Mm-hmm. Nobody's there. I mean, it's not our property anymore, but it's not a hard house to get into, I'll just say. So I went in and I found this notebook, and it's from the Houston Super Bowl. There's the logo that we have, the bags and that.
I've got
this notebook, but same size as that, but no spiral. And there's only one page.
Just would have had that, but
that
it
has writing on it. And it was a Sabres lineup.
All right.
But just numbers. Right. So no name. The scratches are named. I wrote Paye and someone else. I don't remember who else would have been a scratch then. Mm. But I had such a fun time trying to fit, okay, what year is this? Who is 12? Who's on this team? What am I doing here? I had so much fun with that. And this is way more thorough than that. You've got pages. I can hear you flipping them. Lots
I love this. Yeah. Yes. For some reason, Colleen Dewhurst made the notes.
It's like a little, you buried your own time capsule kind of thing. Right?
Yeah.
Got it back out. It's pretty cool.
I got it back out. I got married right around here, too. So I have little doodles about my wedding throughout.
Wedding doodles?
Wedding doodles. I made a little design for a logo that we have on our wedding rings. And so that's in this notebook. Kind of cool. All right, time for a break, right? I mean, this has been exhausting. It's time for a break.
I'm tired.
803-0550 for your calls. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. One quick thought here, and I'm glad to have remembered it so I can get your advice. YouTube is offering me $170 off Sunday ticket. Is that a good deal? How much could it be? More than double that, right?
Yeah, I have no idea. Even before the change, I don't know how much. It's just never an option for me because I would never have used it.
Well, so if the Bills are going to play 8 Island games or more again, then I might like having Sunday ticket. But if they're going to play 3 and I'm in here.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to for me
is
how many post-game shows am I doing, or we, right?
Yeah.
And then if it's half only, I might want the Sunday ticket. But just a funny thing to get on your phone. $170 off. It's not a car.
Right.
Or a fridge.
Right.
Which, by the way, mine do have, they don't say crisper and they're not knobs. They're called humidity control.
Like faders. That's what I call
faders.
Them. Faders. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
I do have that.
Yeah.
You think I live on the prairie or something?
We are right on the edge. I'm going to be out of the house tomorrow, so I don't have to throw myself on this yet, but it's playoff season in the NHL. The games tomorrow are on TBS. So last year when the playoffs got going, I threw myself on I'll get YouTube TV for three months. I haven't done it yet this year. I think next week, next Friday is the next time after Saturday games are on, only TBS and TNT. So I'm going to eventually get there, but I don't think I'll have to do it this weekend. I think I can hold off.
That reminds me, I had a dream this week that a bunch of people were coming over to watch a game, and at the last minute, we realized it was on Peacock, and everybody left. I don't know what it was, but everybody was I can picture from this dream, everybody walking past me out the door because I didn't have Peacock, which I don't anymore.
Oh, I thought you were going to keep going because of the SNL.
No music.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's tough.
So it didn't appeal to me as much after that. I watched 10 skits that I like, but anything that's music is not on there.
Yeah.
Copyright stuff.
That's a problem.
Well, how many night games will it be? One thing we talked about with Sal was the schedule, even though it's pretty early. The draft is the big one, and we hit that too. Sal Capaccio after this. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.